Lacey, taking that seriously enough. I almost called you Lake, and I'm sorry. Sister Lacey, taking it seriously enough to have this service today. So we'll pray, and you pray for the ladies as they sing. Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be in your house tonight. God, thank you for this time that we've set aside, Lord, to pray, Lord, over this family. God, to pray your blessings upon them and this child as he grows and comes to a knowledge and an understanding of you and your salvation and your grace. God, we pray, Lord, for his raising and, Lord, for him to be given and dedicated to you. God, we pray you bless everything that's said and done. Bless the preaching tonight. We'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to go ahead and ask Brother Andy and Sister Lacey to make your way forward tonight with baby Maverick. And we want to do this at the opening up of the service today. Is our yellow microphone on, Brother Johnny? All right, I'll meet you right down here at the front. Today. That's
first, I just want to thank everybody for being here. It means a lot to me that everyone's here. For the most part, everyone that's here I grew up with here at the church. So there's a few newcomers, but for the most part, I grew up with everyone here, and you guys were my support system growing up. My mother and my father, they took it upon themselves to teach me about God and lead me, you know, as Christians, and they brought me to church. And I plan on doing the same with Maverick. But I know that this church is built on a strong foundation, and I wouldn't worry about bringing him here and leaving with any one of you to teach him, because I know you would teach him right, and that means a lot to me. I want to say I'm thankful for Preacher Wayne coming today. He was my pastor for 24 years. He means a lot to me. He's responsible for where I'm at today, too. He taught me a lot, and I've always looked up to him. I want to thank Pastor Revis. I was a little worried that we were going to find a pastor to fill Preacher Wayne's shoes, and I believe we found a good one. He's doing a good job, much better than I hoped we would get. And I want to thank you for being here, for leading our church, and I know you'll be a good example and a good leader for Maverick. And like I say, I'm not much of a public speaker. I had a whole bunch I wanted to say when I got up here, and I've already forgot it all. But just thank you, everybody, for being here. I love all of you.
All right, just one more. I'm sorry, I don't want to preach, Brother Wayne, I promise. But I'm reminded one more verse before we pray. Mark chapter number 10, verse 16. Somebody loved kids more than anybody else was Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, "Suffer, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And it says, he took them up in his arms, he put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And I think that's what we ought to do tonight. So we're going to ask Sister Lacey and Brother Andy to kneel down at this altar in the best way you can. And anybody that will, you come gather, and let's pray for them. Sister Eve, if you could play while we pray. Well, let's take a few minutes tonight. Thank you.
Amen.
Well, at this time, we're going to hand it over to you, Brother Wayne, tonight. And if you have a song on your heart, you sing that. And you give us God's word. And I trust that we'll be charged and challenged by his word. I'm looking forward to hearing from him tonight. You pray for Brother Wayne as he comes to preach God's word.
Donnie's giving me a signal. I don't know if that means leave or stay. It's a real joy to be at Emory Heights again. We thank you for coming. Brother Elvis, but I see that you've called another line preacher. I was bad, you know, tail end of the sermon. I'm about done. This is my last point. And then about 20 minutes, you'd get done. Well, Brother Elvis said, I don't want to preach. I thought, well, yeah, he does. You know. So, could I say that I'm grateful for what the Lord has done. And, you know, I've tried to be pretty truthful throughout the day. And I'm speaking the truth, I lie not. I am very grateful for Emory Heights calling. Brother Elvis Schaefer. I loved him and love him, and I pray for you. He's been a blessing. Of course, Revis preached at Westside a lot before I went there. He taught a lot before I went there and after I got there. My, what a blessing. You're honored and blessed. You are honored and blessed to have this fine young man to be your pastor. And I know we're not here per se for that, but please allow me to say that today. Thank you. What a privilege to be here among friends for such a wonderful occasion. I'm very honored to be here for the dedication of John Maverick Devine to the Lord. What a great thing. What an acknowledgement. Our need of God, and the need of God's blessing upon a life, and God's protection upon a life. And just a wonderful, great thing. And of course, Andy mentioned, I was Andy's pastor for about 24 years. I think Andy was 3 years old when I came to Emory Heights. I believe I'm right, 3 or 4. And I appreciate Andy. He's been my friend. He's visited with us. We've worked together, and I appreciate Andy. A few years ago, I had the privilege of performing the marriage ceremony, Brother Andy and Sister Lacey, and it's our honor to be here this evening. So I've been asked to preach, asked to bring a message, and I hope I've got what the Lord would want us to bring. Our scriptures are found in the book of Psalms, and we're in chapter 78. Psalms chapter 78. Psalms 78 verse 1. Psalms 78 verse 1. I know it's a real blessing to Andy and Lacey that you come. Their friends, family, church family, I know it's a blessing to them that you've took time to come for this service this evening. Psalm 78, verse 1. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God, not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and a rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright, and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. Would you pray with me and pray for me? Father, thank you for the service to this point. What a blessing, what a joy. Lord, we need you this evening. I want to be able to remember what I've studied. I want to say what needs to be said. I want to be to the point. I want to be done, get the job done. I want to honor the Lord, I want to challenge people, and I pray you'd really help us and bless us together around the world. And I'll be so very grateful, for I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. I remember sometime while I was here reading these verses and preaching somewhat the same message that I'll be sharing this evening. What a challenge. What a challenge. I remember before, as I dealt with this, you try to figure out just exactly how many generations is mentioned in this passage of Scripture. And to be honest with you, when you look at it, I don't think there's actually a limit to the generation. What's being said, this generation is to tell the next generation and that generation, the next generation, and on and on and on, that all might know about the God of heaven, the God of Israel, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's our responsibility, it's parents' responsibility to share the truth about God with their children. What an awesome responsibility. I was young when Brad was born. I wasn't very old when April was born, and I was not aware of the awesome responsibility God placed children in your hands, in your home, for you to raise, to protect, to teach, to train. My, what an awesome responsibility. But God, you know, it's amazing. If you'd take the time to just look at the Bible as a whole and just really consider what the Lord and the Bible has to say about children. They're precious. They're special. The Lord taking the children and sitting them in His lap. My, I mean, what a blessing. Don't we desire His blessing upon our children and our grandchildren? God, He honors this thing of honoring Him with children. I'm reminded of what the Lord said concerning Abraham in Genesis 18, 19. God said, "For I know him." Now, God made a lot of promises to Abraham. God promised a great blessing to Abraham. But I'm going to tell you, the thing that was special to God about Abraham was that knowledge of God and that stability that he had and that faith that he had and that desire that he had to tell his children about the Lord. Abraham was a rich man, but the thing that impressed God about Abraham was not his cattle and his gold and his silver. But the thing that impressed God about Abraham was the fact God said, "I know him, and I know what he's going to do concerning his children." He said he'll command his children and his household after him. They shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he has spoken of him. This what fulfilled and brought about the possibility that God could bless him by him being the kind of father. Did you know, I'm afraid a lot of folk misses a lot of blessing because they're not the kind of dad wants them to be. They're not the kind of mother and even grandparents. My, you know, what an awesome responsibility. And God knows. Now, we're going to make mistakes. And Andy will make mistakes. They still make mistakes. And grandparents will probably surely make a whole bunch of mistakes. But we need God, do we not? And can God say that about us this evening? Can God say that about you this evening? That how children, young children in your home, even teenage children in your home, can God say, "Boy, I want you to know he's the man that I can bless, and I can bless his home because he's a man that's going to take charge and command his children." You know, Isaiah said in Isaiah, well, Isaiah didn't say it. Hezekiah was the man that said it. And in 38 verse 18, Isaiah says, Hezekiah is saying, you better serve God while you're living here. And you better do your praising, you better do your work. I'm telling you, our work's going to be done one day. My, and you know, when it comes to raising children, I mean, you be home at, 11, 12, 10, 9, 8:30. It's probably a better time. But I'm telling you, there does come a day that they're 18, they're 19, they're off out yonder in college, and you're hoping But I'm telling you, there's that awesome responsibility when they're little, when they're young. I preached this message recently, and I gave this illustration, and it's so very vivid in my mind, although it's been many, many years. When I was in school out in the country, little community school, Pine Orchard Elementary School, we played in the woods, and I enjoyed that. And I think children, if they could ever get rid of their cell phones and all this other junk they play with, I think they could enjoy. In fact, some of you moms and dads and grandpas probably ought to help them to enjoy. But back behind the school buildings, we'd play in the woods. There was a tree. This tree came up about 3 to 4 foot. Well, that's what it seemed like back in those days when you're 9, 8, 9, 10 year old. But it came up about this tall, and then it went out about that far, about 4, 5, 6 foot, and then it shot right straight up. You know what had happened in that life of that tree? When that tree, I suppose to be probably 2 to 3 inches long, or big around rather, there'd been some pressure put on that thing and bent it over. And then one day it got started going up that way. Boy, it's a great thing if we could get our children and our grandchildren, if we could get them bent over. You've got to bend them over. You've got to break the wheel. You've got to get them bent over. Oh, no, I know this ain't popular, but I have raised two. It works. Amen. All of that to say this. However you put the pressure on. I'm not talking about being hard and mean, but I'm talking about training them up in the way they should go. Bringing them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And Hezekiah said, the grave, it cannot praise. Not going to do nothing out this life. You better be living now. You better be working now. You better be training now. You better be setting good examples now for the grave. It's over with for you here when that time comes. But he says it's the living. Dead can't do much. You've got relatives that's went home to be with the Lord. You've got a godly heritage, a heritage and a goodly heritage. But I'm telling you, they can't do much today. But we can. And he said it's the living. The living, he shall praise thee as I do this day. The Father to the children shall make known thy truth. That's how it's to be done. Revis quoted Psalms 127, verse 3. And my, what a great verse of scripture. God's reward. God's reward. Now look. Just for a few minutes, it's Psalm 78. Talk to you a few minutes, and I already have. Well, I'll talk to you a few minutes about our mission to our children. Mission to our children. We have a special mission to our children. Now, this is entrusted first to the parents. Sunday school is a great help. I believe in it. Oh, my, when a good, godly Sunday school teacher can take the story of Jesus and tell those children about the love of God, when a good, godly Sunday school teacher can take those children and teach them about the things of God, but that's just added things that God's given. Bible school is a wonderful thing. Once a year, Bible school. And what a blessing it is. And these are helps to parents. Oh, yes, it's a help to those parents in their training, in their teaching, in their raising those children. What a great help these things can be. But the awesome responsibility falls upon the parents. Their responsibility. Teach our children about God. A lot of folk raise a ruckus, know and have raised a ruckus that your school teachers can't teach about God. Well, I'm not real sure that they, I'm pretty sure there's some of them I don't want them teaching my children about God. Because there's no telling what they teach. Right? Well, yes. Teach our children about God. About God. That's theology. About God. They need to know about God. The Bible speaks these words, and there arose a generation that knew not the Lord. I'm afraid that's where we're at in America today, because parents have failed to tell their children about God. First of all, we're to teach about God in history. The history of what God has done. The creation story. In the beginning, God. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. John says, according to what he had to say about the living Word, Christ Jesus coming into the world, all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. The Creator. I said, well, I'm not real sure. Well, I'm going to tell you, not trying to be mean, not trying to be hateful, but while the world of unbelievers is roasting in the lake of fire, I read in Revelation chapter 4 where there's a glorified saints of God will be praising Him because of His great creation. For all eternity, God will be praised and honored because He's the Creator. They need to be taught that. They need to know about that. That's right. God. Teach about God's creation. Teach about God's judgment and the flood. All kinds of stories and side stories and comments and all of that has been made about the flood. You get to reading commentaries and looking here and there for info, and you'll find there's some that says it really wasn't a worldwide flood. It was just a portion of the earth. But it was a judgment of mankind upon the earth. Need to teach children about the flood. Somebody said, I don't think so. I do. We need to understand that our God's a God of love, a God of judgment, a God of love, a God of mercy, a God of long-suffering. But our children need to believe that God is a God that judges sin. Teach them the history of the flood. God said the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. God said, I'll destroy man. God said, I will destroy man. Said the earth was filled with violence. God said, the end of all flesh has come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. Behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make an ark. Here's how you to make it. Here's your dimensions. For I'm going to bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh. You better tell your children, God's not going to put up with this garbage. Somebody said, well, preacher, you're not very nice. Our God's a God of judgment. The history of God. Tell them about God in history. Tell them about God in law. Somebody said, we're under grace. You got that right. Thank God. It's a good thing. It's a real good thing. But God is not a God without law. See, that's Old Testament. Are you real sure? I mean, are you 100% sure that's Old Testament? I believe the Word of God tells us in the book of 1 John, chapter 3 and verse number 4, that whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. God's got a law. You need to let people know. You need to tell your children. You need to tell your grandchildren. God still has some rules you've got to go by. You know, we're in such a society, and we're so permissive. You know, whether they earn anything or not, everybody gets a sucker. Well, I'm going to tell you, the way it used to be, if you didn't do what you were supposed to do, you didn't get no sucker. We spoil them. They don't believe in judgment. They don't believe in reality. The mentality of a generation today is somehow God's love, and there's a back door back here somewhere that he'll manage to open up and let us come in the back door. God don't have a back door. God don't have no grandchildren. There's one way. It's Jesus. And God's got to allow the soul that sinneth, it shall die, is what the Word of God said. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Better not raise a generation today thinking that God don't judge sin. For he does. God in law. The Bible said the law of the Lord's perfect, converting the soul. You better certainly tell them about God in redemption. Amen. Man, we're sinners. It didn't take a whole lot to convince me I was a sinner. It's pretty evident. And if you'll be honest, if you will be honest, it's not going to take a whole lot to convince you that you're really a sinner. But aren't you glad for redemption? Amen. Deliver us by paying a price. Setting us free from the bondage of our sin and our desperation, the shackles that held us as sinners. Precious little fella, sleep right now with this big mouth preacher just sleeping right away. Who knows? I don't know his personality. I've never been around him a lot. He may be one of those kids that they say from now till they get to be teenagers. Of course, most of them change when that happens. But they may say, oh, how sweet. He's so sweet. And in their disposition, sometimes children are just so nice and kind. I think Revis was probably that kind of a young boy. He wasn't. He sure has changed. But you know what? We're all sinners. John Maverick, divine, is a sinner. And he's going to need a Savior. And praise God, I'm glad there's a Savior available when conviction grips his heart and the sweet Holy Spirit begins to deal with that inner person. And when he begins to feel so guilty before God, I'm glad Jesus Christ has shed his blood that our sins could be forgiven and washed away. Oh, we need to tell them about redemption through the precious blood of Christ according to the riches of God's wonderful grace. You better tell them. They're going to need to hear it. Tell them about God. You know, children are not to be left just to pick up religious knowledge. Somebody said, well, they'll learn. Someone said, well, let's let them make up their own minds. You better tell them about God. You better tell them about the true God. You better tell them about the God of the Bible. It's not for the... You don't let them make up their mind about whether or not they go to the dentist. You don't let them make up their mind whether or not they're going to school. And you don't need to let them do their own choosing of religion. You need to tell them about God. It's our responsibility. We're to help them to begin their lives. See, in verse number 8, it says, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation. Verse 7 said that they might set their hope in God. We're to help them begin lives of trust and obedience. How do we do this? Well, if you've walked with God very long at all, there's probably some experiences that you could share with them that'd be helpful to them. Have you ever been up against a hard time, a hard rock, a hard place, and you didn't know what you was going to do? And then you prayed and God helped you. Hey, you need to tell your kids that they can pray and God answers prayer. He don't just give you everything you want, but praise God, when there's a real need, He's able to meet that need. And I'm going to share with you today, and you've heard me say it before, but there's some things that really ain't a need, but you might want it and want you to have it, and ain't a thing in the world against wrong with you bowed on your knees and saying, God, I really don't need it, but I believe I could use it to glorify you, and I'd like to have it. Would you make it possible for me to have it? And praise God, one day, very soon, it all comes to fruition. You need to tell your children that I asked God for this, and God gave me this. You need to tell them those experiences. Might have been a time. Have you ever had real problems that had you? Didn't really know what to do? How am I going to handle this situation? Maybe it's a people problem. Maybe it's a church problem. Maybe it's a health problem. There's all kinds of problems. But have you ever had a real something that, and then one day you prayed, God said, this is how you deal with this. And then there's a good outcome from it. There is a good outcome. When we pray, God says, this is the way you do it. This is how you overcome. This is your answer. There is a good outcome. When God directs, when God leads, when God answers, you ought to tell your children about it. That'll help them in developing that life of trust in God. I'll tell you today, you can trust God. You're looking at a man that's been preaching for 52 years. I've had my ups and I've had my downs. More ups than downs. Raised as a poor country boy and redneck all over, and thank God for it. But there's a God in heaven that has loved us and blessed us and met our needs, and He's done the same for you. And you ought to tell your boys and girls what God has done for you. You ought to tell them. You can help them and aid them by forming good religious habits. I'm trying to be mean, but that's the way you do it. Just forming some good religious habits. To be honest with you, Christians ought to say table grace. Just to be honest with you, people that know God and understand that God blesses you with your beans and your potatoes and your sausage and your bacon and all of that good stuff, and even just a plain old bologna sandwich. Praise God. God gives you all that. Table grace is something good to instill in your boys and girls. Tithing is a good thing to instill. Brad knows I'm telling the truth. 12, I guess. April's nearly 3 years younger. I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, we are responsible to instill, help them to build these good habits. Went to Sweetwater Sale Barn, bought them a little old red and white face heifer calf, cute as a button apiece. They looked a little bit different, both of them red and white face. Gave them that daughter and that son. And I taught them, you know, of course you can make money if you've got your daddy buying the feed and your daddy furnishing the hay and your daddy furnishing the pasture and your daddy furnishing the water and your daddy building fence. I mean, you can make money farming that way. Anybody want to put me in business? But I taught them the responsibility. Somebody said, well, I'm not real sure about tithing. I'm going to tell you how sure I am about it. I'm sure that the Word of God said the tithe is the Lord's. Good habits. We taught them the habit of going to church. We was in, Brother Elvis, you'll enjoy this, but we was up on Gullahar Road one night about 50 years ago nearly, because Brad's, how old are you, Brad, 47? So he was probably 3 or 4, and April was a little old stinking baby, and we was in a little country church, and one fella had preached about an hour longer than what he needed to preach, and it was hot, and the thing was crowded, and sitting in the back of the room fighting with them two kids, and the preacher had enough nerve to come back there and ask my wife if she was right with the Lord. She said if I'd have thought about it, I'd have told him I was till about 2 hours ago. But we taught him to go to church. Well, man, I wouldn't miss it. I hate to miss church. I mean, everything happens at church. You like fighting? That'll probably happen one day. Man, I ain't going to tell you what all else can happen, but you know you've done been there. When sister so-and-so gets her slip in the wrong direction, amen. Hey, I don't want to miss church, but you know, not just for all of that. Man, it's like getting refilled at the gas station, challenging your soul. Boy, boys and girls need church. Amen, they need church. Oh, yeah. Good habits. Good habits. Need to make them feel their responsibility to the generation that's coming. So when they grow old, they tell them. That's what's taught in this Psalm 78 generation. Responsibility. I'm closing real soon. But don't we want our children? You that have children now in your home, do we not want them to be brought to a living trust in the Lord? Do we not really want them to obey His will? Now that can get to be difficult sometimes. And it's, but you know, it's such a, it's so dangerous now. I mean, it's so dangerous. The roads, highways are so crowded. People are, I mean, you know, there's so many people, and if they ever get excited, it's like a stampede. It's a dangerous world. You know the safest place for you today? You know where will be the safest place for this little one as he matures, becomes a man in the will of God, a Christian, a believer, is safer among communism in the will of God than he is in America out of the will of God. I'm telling you, we need the Lord. We need the Lord. Do you not want your children to grow up, serve the Lord? My, our influences are to live on, repeating itself generation after generation. I was raised in the home of Howard and Velma Nelson. And I'm a product of Howard and Velma Nelson. And Brad is a product of Howard and Velma Nelson. And Marcus is a product, and not taking anything away from the divine side whatsoever. Mona and Johnny's been in church, raised their family in church. Mona's dad got saved in later years, was a church man. Mr. Divine got saved. I pastored him. I'd never privileged to pastor Brother Charlie Williams, but these are products. On and on and on. I'm telling you, it's important. You better get to God. You better take this thing serious. I'm not just talking to Andy. I'm not just talking to Lacey. I'm talking to every parent. I'm talking to every grandparent. I'm talking to you and I that are here today. You don't want to raise a boy or girl without church today. You don't want to raise a boy or girl without God today. May the Lord help us. God help us. What an awesome responsibility. Raising a family is not easy today. Used to, it was so different. Didn't take so much. Different. It's expensive to raise children. And then you've got all of that, and then all the trials and the pressures that goes with it. We need God. And it's our responsibility to teach them about God. Let's bow our heads. Or else I want just another minute or two and I'll turn the service to you. But I wonder today, maybe you're here and you'll just really be honest and say, preacher, I've always knew it was somewhat a serious matter. But today my life has been challenged. Today I take it more serious than I ever have. And today I want you to pray for me that I can have the help of God. That I can go in the right direction. That I can teach my children to put their hope in God. That's the only sound thing they can put their hope in. Would you let me pray for you? I'll not personate you, embarrass you, aggravate you, but I'll pray for you. Anybody? Preacher, I see the responsibility. Preacher, I see the awesomeness. Preacher, I see that, boy, we really need God. Would you pray for us? Anybody? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for your love and mercy and peace. I thank you for the good word of God. I thank you for these that have come today. And I just pray that you'd help Lacey, Andy, in this endeavor of raising a young man for the Lord. Give them wisdom, direction, help. Please, Lord God, encourage them when they need encouraging. Strengthen them when they need strength. Help them to understand the all importance of what they're doing. Lord, we love to see our children grow up and be successful and do a lot of things and make a lot of accomplishments. Lord, the important thing is just please you. So would you bless us now? Would you help us? Again, if there's a person not saved today, my, how they need the Lord, would you help them to see their need? Would you give them an understanding? Draw them to yourself. Bless us, dear Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name.
All want their lives to count for something. to worldly riches I only seek eternal gain. Inside my heart there burns a question: what was I placed on earth here for? It truly was to build a kingdom, not of my own, but of the Lord's. I want my life to count for Jesus. I only seek eternal gain.
Well, I appreciate the message tonight, and I appreciate that song. What a beautiful song that was, Sister Terry. I don't know if I've ever heard that. I pray that the words of the message tonight would ring in our hearts, and the words of that song. I think about Baby Maverick. You know, I'm not even fit to really be speaking in the service today, not being a parent at all, but I was a child, and I did have parents, like every one of us did, right? Amen. And I am thankful for how they raised me to serve and honor the Lord. And I think about what Brother Wayne said, Baby Maverick sleeping through the message. He's already destined to be a good Baptist, ain't he, Brother Wayne? Sleeping through. But, you know, brother, little Baby Maverick could grow up to be so many things. And I know he's going to do wonderful things. He could grow up and be he could be anything that he wants to be. I mean, this little baby could grow up to be a president. He could grow up to be a baseball star. He could grow up to be an entrepreneur. He could grow up to be so many things. But wouldn't it be wonderful if, more than anything, he grew up not to earn the accolades of men and the success of this world, but if he simply grew up to love the Lord and to win somebody to him. And who knows, maybe he'll be a preacher one day. Maybe he'll be a missionary one day. But even if he's just a good Christian boy that becomes a good Christian man and raises a good Christian family, just as his parents have done for him, then it'll all be worth these two parents' while if he can just do that. And friend, I'm glad my parents raised me the way they did, and if I don't mean anything in the eyes of the world, it means something to God that they did that for me. And it means something while we're here today. And I appreciate the message. I think about the text that Brother Wayne preached on in verse 5. I love that verse. He established a testimony and appointed a law. He said, I want you to pass down my word, but pass down the testimony I gave you. I'll leave you with this, and we'll eat. Brother Andy's going to speak and say whatever else is on his heart tonight. But I want to ask you, do you have a testimony to pass down? Are you saved today? We've got the law, but do you have the testimony of your salvation, that you know where you're going, that you know you've been saved and forgiven and cleansed and made a new creature by the blood of Christ? Boy, I ask you today, it'd be a good day. Let's have Brother Andy, if you'd like to speak, say a few things, and then we'll pray and we'll bless the food tonight that you prepared. You can come right up here to this microphone.
I want to thank everybody again for coming today. It means a lot. But what we did today, in all reality, it doesn't mean much if Lacey, we don't follow through. The dedication was more for us than it was for Maverick, because we have to be the ones to teach him and to lead him. And that hope that one day, that when he's presented with that choice, that he chooses right. And it scares me that he won't, but I know that if he's taught right, he's taught well, that he'll know the choice between right and wrong. Like I said, I thank everybody for coming. I had such a strong support system here. Preacher Wayne, Brother Ronnie, Miss Michelle, all of you, everybody here in the WANA program, you taught me. And I hope that one day I have the opportunity to teach other children, and not just my own. And I hope I can be somebody's support system. And I just thank everybody for showing up. I've got food over here. Take me about another 15, 20 minutes to prepare it. I ask that you stay, you rejoice with us, you eat with us, have fun. This is a joyous occasion. It's a somber occasion, as they said. Just thank everybody. We're going to pray over there.
We pray here now if you'd like to.
Okay. Brother Ronnie, would you pray for us?
Yes.